Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters to the knees. And again measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, were to the loins. It's getting deeper and deeper. After he measured 1,000, it was a river that I could not pass over. In other words, I didn't have control anymore. I couldn't walk in this river. He's talking about a river that has progressively began to flow, and as he measured out, it began to get deeper and deeper and deeper. The Bible says that you couldn't pass over it, for the waters were risen, verse 5, the waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And here's the key verse. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, wheresoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live, whether the river cometh. Amen. And without getting into too much of this, he sees a house, a temple, a sanctuary, where God shows him this water flowing out of the threshold, underneath the doors, coming out. And it begins to flow. And he sees this river flowing out of this house. This is a vision. I don't know necessarily if God was showing him here in the natural, this house, but it has a spiritual meaning. And for us also in this day, and if you know about rivers, how many of us know that rivers bring life? They bring water. Without rivers in this nation and around the world, you're in trouble. Do you realize that 70.8% of the earth is covered by water? That's a lot of water. But yet, do you know there's places in this world where people are dying because there's lack of water? Isn't it amazing, upon this earth we can see an abundance of water, but yet there's still people dying throughout the world of contaminated water? Children getting sick because of all the diseases in filthy, dirty water. We see down in Louisiana, in just a short amount of time, they got so much water, they didn't know what to do with it, and it's flooding out thousands and thousands and thousands of homes because of an abundance of water. The river is breaking the banks and just destroying everything. Water is a very powerful thing. This house that he is looking at, the Bible says, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued. Now notice that, waters issued out of this house. And I want to simply give you this thought today. I want to let the river flow through my house. Hallelujah. Do you know that you are the house of the Lord? You are the sanctuary of God. You are a spiritual house. And can I tell you that without the Spirit in your house, you're just a house. See, we've got a building here, and you've got a home, and how difficult would it be for some of us to have a home without any electricity, any power, or any water? You can't live very comfortable without running water. Some of you know what it is to not have water in a house. It's so nice having running water. Water in the New Testament is likened unto the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. How many of us know there's one Spirit of God? God is a Spirit. The Spirit of God is likened unto water. It is life-giving. What can live on the earth without water? I fly a lot. Many of you have flown a lot. And you look down on the landscape that you're traveling over. And I really seen this more in Africa more than any other place, because there's so many areas in drought and doesn't have any water, that when I look down from 35,000 feet, I could see rivers everywhere. How many of us know you can see the roads and they're going up and down and all around? You see the mountains. Well, you can see these rivers and they go like this. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you ever sit by the window and you look out. Well, down there, as we got a little bit lower, I've noticed all these rivers. Everything in the landscape in some of these places were dry. They were dead. There was no greenery. There was no life. But along that river, right off the banks of that river, was green life. There was people. There was vegetation. There was signs of life. Isn't it something that animals will flock to water? People will go where there's a source of water. And without water, you can't water your crops, which means you can't feed your family and you can't have crop to be able to sell to get money and pay your bills and take care of your responsibilities financially. Water is so important in our lives. The Bible likens this Spirit as like water. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit. So he says a river and the Spirit. I'm allowing you to see that a river and the Spirit are like the same thing. One in the natural, but another one in the spiritual. The Spirit is likened or described as a river. In Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a what? Pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Once again, we see a picture of this life-giving source. Where did all life originate? God made Adam out of the what? Dust of the ground. But he was just a piece of dirt before God took his mouth and breathed into his nostrils and breathed the breath of the Spirit of life into him. All life comes from God. There wasn't anything that was made that was not made. All things were made by him and for him in the heavens and in the earth. And let me tell you, it is all a source of life that only comes from God. He is the giver of life. The life that we breathe in through oxygen and air, the breath in our lungs, he gives us the breath of life. The Bible describes this house, and I believe Ezekiel was seeing a picture of that New Testament church that was going to be the river that brought life to the world. Do you know this world is dying spiritually? Literally hundreds of thousands of people die every day. And a large majority of them do not know Jesus as their Savior. And brothers and sisters, we have a hope that we can offer them. Are you listening? We are a spiritual house. This is the house of God. And there's many others throughout this city and around our country and throughout the different places in this world. But can I tell you, not all have the river flowing through it. This building is nothing to God. You are God's house. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your house is a spiritual house. It is something that God breathes into. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, I doubt, amen, when I don't see people ever lift their hands and worship God, they don't have a real hunger for the things of God. They don't have a desire to go to church. They don't have real commitment. They don't have real dedication. Oh, they like a taste of the water, but they don't want the real living water inside of them. Because brothers and sisters, can I tell you, the real Spirit of God will give you life. This is the life that flows from Emmanuel's veins. His name is Jesus, and He is the Spirit of life. He is the power of life. Without the Spirit, the body is dead, brothers and sisters. A house without water. Getting back to our thought today, let the river flow through this house. He said this water began to flow out of the house, and it began to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Ghost to flow through us. That we can be a church and a people that are givers of life. As it flowed, it got deeper and deeper. And he said, everything that river coming out of that house, Ezekiel said, everything that it touched, it brought forth life. You are a life giver. Not that you have any power, not that you have anything to give, but because of what's inside of you. You have a message to this lost and dying world that does not have any hope. Hey, I've got some living water. I've got a river flowing through me. Amen. And it makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It sets the captives free. Listen, some of you need to get the river flowing through your life. John said it this way. He said, I baptized you in water, but there's one coming after you that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power and fire. Hallelujah. Can I tell you what some of us need? Amen. Some of you got the baptism in water, but what you need more than to be baptized in water is you need the river of the Holy Ghost to flood your soul and bring life to the dead places in your life. Can I tell you, when I see people sitting there week after week and they can't raise their hands, they can't sing a song, they don't have anything to offer, hallelujah, I don't want death in this church. I want a river flowing. I want to see a river of life flowing through every person in this congregation. Are you one, perhaps, that is stopping the flow of the Spirit? Bible says that Jeremiah rebuked his generation and telling them in Jeremiah 2 and 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You know why some of you can't hold any spirit? Because you're broken. Broken in the wrong way. I heard one pastor say, you need to constantly be filled. You need a daily, or at least a once or twice a week, feel His presence, feel His power sweep over your soul. I don't know about you, church, but I'm not content with the level of the river of life flowing through this pastor. I need it. Amen. I might have it up to my knees, maybe, and up to my loins, but the Holy Ghost has been telling me, I want to make you a river. I want to let this river of life. What am I saying? I'm saying you need more than just a demonstration of a shout and a testimony. You need to be one that bears the power of God. Amen. And lets the power of God flood through your house and through your soul to the lost and the dying that are in this world. There's a lost and a dying world out there, and you have living water to offer them. They need to see real life. Many are looking for life in places that cannot offer life. My people have committed two evils. John 4 and 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would given thee living water. How many are thirsty? It's been a little while. I feel it up to my ankles, if I'll be honest, but I want to see it get up to my knees, preacher. That's what the prophet said. He says, as I went out another 1,000, it went up from the ankles to the knees and then to my loins. And before I knew it, I was engulfed in a river that was bringing life to the nations. He's talking about that New Testament body of believers that he's seen in a vision, a people that would be scattered throughout the nations, a people that had a river of life flowing through them. Let the river flow through me. I don't want to be one that hinders the flow of God's Spirit, but I want to have a free flow of God's life flowing through me. Hallelujah. I don't have a lot of confidence if a man doesn't have a prayer life at home. What are you saying that for? Because we have a lot of men that don't have any life because they don't have a prayer life. One of the biggest tragedies of our day is we got prayerless preachers, prayerless pastors, and we got prayerless pews. The large majority of us, we want the life, but we really don't have a prayer life. It's a struggle for some folks to really pray. Why ain't the water flowing? How much have you primed your pump this week? Did you come ready to flow in the Spirit, or do you come to be pumped up? I've heard an old-time preacher talking about this river of life, and he says it's hard when a preacher gets up and he's got to pump and pump. How many remembers the old pumps where you had to pump the water to the surface, and he's pumping, and he's pumping, and he's looking, and there's no life, and he's pumping, and he's preaching, and they're singing, and they're doing all they could to get the water flowing. Can I tell you, I can't do it all on my own. I don't care how much I pray. I don't care how much I fast and I seek God and get a word from God for you. It takes us all coming into one spirit, into one mind, into one accord as one house of God. And we are a house of God. And listen to me, you are important. You are a very, very important part of this house of God, this congregation, and you need to bring some living water into this house. Some of you have gifts that God's given you through the Spirit. We need a vessel that has been shut up with God in a secret place that has allowed the Spirit of life to come into them. Oh, listen to me, brothers and sisters. There is one that has a well that never runs dry, and His name is Jesus. And if you'll drink of that water, you'll never thirst again. Brothers and sisters, why do you want to go and get filled up at a well when you can go to the well? Hallelujah. Can I tell you, Jesus was sitting on that well waiting for that woman. Amen. It was a well sitting on a well. Hallelujah. Jesus is the well of life. He is the well that brings forth water, living water. And that's what we need in our church and in our house of God. That is our body. You need to be a giver of life. There's nothing wrong with the river, but it's that which is hindering the river from flowing. What is hindering the Spirit of God from flowing through your life? What is stopping the flow? Prayerlessness, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, strife, envy, jealousy, lying, backbiting, gossip, lust. We could go on and on and on. The works of the flesh. I don't want to stop the river from flowing, do you? God, forgive me if I've stopped the river from flowing. I need the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God to flow through your sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. That's what that river runs through. It comes to cleanse the vessel. The washing of the water of the Word. Why do I preach against sin? Why do we preach against ungodliness? Why do we preach against the things of the world? Because that is what contaminates your well of life. And if you want the true, genuine water of life to flow out of you, you've got to allow the Holy Ghost to cleanse you from all sin and all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That's what hinders the flow of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know different ones that have been seeking the Holy Ghost for years, have not been filled with the Spirit. Why? There's something blocking the flow. There's something that God wants cleaned up. How many like drinking out of a dirty glass? You ever seen a vessel and somebody didn't clean it right? And then they're going to put liquid in it, water or some type of drink, and you look in it and it's like, ooh, do you want to drink that? How many like a clean vessel? And you look in it and it's clear and clean. It's been washed. It's been cleansed. When the Lord looks down on you, He says, I want a clean vessel. The Bible says if we can cleanse ourselves from some of these lusts of the flesh, from some of these sins, He can make us a vessel that can bring glory and honor to His name. He can say, hey, I can use that man of God. I can use that woman of God to send them to the mission field, to send them to do evangelistic work, to send them out into all the world and preach the gospel. And I can flow through them a river of life that will make people in other nations be healed, set free, and delivered. Can I tell you, you can bring that living water to the lost and the dying souls of humanity if you allow God to pour into your life. But you got to be a vessel fit for the Master's use first. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, John 7:38, out of his what? Shall what? Flow rivers of living water. The reason why you don't have the river of the Spirit flowing through you, and the reason why some of the gifts of the Spirit are not flowing through some of you, is because we're not spiritual enough. I said we're not spiritual enough. We've got too many things clogging up the flow. We've got too much entertainment in our ears and not enough time in prayer. We got too many times we're listening to that radio and not enough time in the book. Too much time on our cell phones and on our iPads and on our computers and sitting in front of the televisions and not enough time in our Master's presence, sitting at His feet, letting Him fill us with that living water. Where is the source of living water come from? The Bible says from Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It flows a crystal clear river. That flow is the Spirit. It's the Spirit into your life. That water cleanses you, it washes you, and it fills you, and it gives you life. Verse 1, he says, after he brought me again under the door of the house, behold, the water issued out from under the threshold of the house. We need the river to flow out of this house. Out of you, out of your belly shall flow rivers. How many really want to be a vessel that can flow? I want to flow in the Spirit. I want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to be a vessel that the anointing can flow through this sanctuary. Can I tell you, there's been many stories told of great men of God that didn't have great educations, great men and women of God that didn't have great talent or ability, but when they began to sing, when they began to preach, the glory of the Lord manifested through their lives. The glory of the Lord manifested and flowed through their life. How many want to honestly allow the Spirit to flow through their life? Let's earnestly begin to pray that, Lord, I can be that vessel. See, because there's many people that are thirsty and hungry and need somebody that can give them a drink of living water. In Isaiah 41:18, and I'll leave you with this thought. He talks about the poor and the needy people in verse 17 of Isaiah 41 that seek water. He says, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. How many know somebody that really needs the Spirit of life? They need a real, real taste of the genuine. There's a lot of wells out there people are drinking out of, many different churches and ministries throughout the world in this nation. But it's not the genuine. How many of us know when you have tasted the real, you'll know the imitation? There's nothing can compare to the taste of the Lord. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Nothing can compare to the genuine flow of God's Spirit. He says, I, the Lord, see a people in verse 17 that are failing for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord God of Israel, will not forsake them. Verse 18 in Isaiah 41, listen closely as I close with this scripture. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. God speaks of Him unleashing into the dry and arid places, into the valleys, into the dry wildernesses. You know, much of our nation, many different places are under some pretty bad droughts right now. And you got farmers that will tell you, I'm praying for water. I'm praying for water. And just as much as the water is needed for that farmer to grow his crop, can I tell you, we won't have any fruit in our lives. We won't have a harvest in the church without the rain of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty. I appreciate what God's doing in our midst, but we need a river to flow through this place. And it's not going to be me or just a small handful of us that can so-called make it happen or pray it up to happen. It takes everybody bringing enough water into this place, spiritual water inside of you. And can I tell you what it begins to do? It begins to flow from one vessel to another. I've been in church services where the Holy Ghost would hit one, and the one standing right next to them would get the hit of that also. Some of you have been in Pentecost long enough to know when the river begins to flow through one. Amen. I've watched others get over there by them. Somebody said, I want to get under the spout where the glory's poured out. Amen. How many want to see God pour out His Spirit upon all flesh? Amen. I want to see Him pour it out here. I want to see Him pour it out in Mexico and in Africa and in Europe and throughout the whole world. I want to see the glory of the Lord. The Bible says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. I'm looking for another wave of God's glory. I'm looking for a wave of the Spirit of God to flood through this church and many other churches.